We are going to continue Parak Gimel Mishnah Aleph. Now, right now in Parak Gimel Mishnah Aleph, in the end of Parak Gimel Mishnah Aleph, Reb Chaim Volozhiner here gives a tremendous insight into, he gives one of his deep thoughts here. Okay, he goes into the depths. So let's learn what he says here. So the Mishnah says that number one, me'ayin basa, which is the avar, look into the past. You know, that your past should bring you some humility. And to where are you going? You're going to be buried on, you're going to be buried in the ground soon. So you're going to be busy, you know, everything that's guf related is not going to last very long to most people. That's, And then the last one is Dalifnei mi ata osid litein din v'cheshbin, and before whom are you going to have to give a calculation for your deeds in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So in other words, this is basically a perspective. Let us put things in perspective. You know, life is temporary, passing, and our longest term investment is our spirituality. That is our neshama. That's basically what the Mishnah is saying. So first of all, Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains what's a din and what's the cheshbon. You know, you have to give a din, you have to give a judgment, and a cheshbon, a calculation. So what's the din and what's the cheshbon? So famously, the Vilna Gaon says, a great Ivart, the Vilna Gaon says that the din is that you're going to be held accountable for what you did and didn't, what you did wrong or what you didn't do right. But the cheshbon is what you could have done better. So in other words, if a person speaks Lashon Hara, so they're going to be held accountable on the din level for the Lashon Hara that they spoke. But on the cheshbon level, they're going to be held accountable for the fact that they could have been learning Torah then. So in other words, there's the din of what you did and the cheshbon of let's take into account what you could have been doing and how you could have been using your time or your resources better had you been going that, you know, that's the Vilna Gaon's, you know, that's what that's what he says it.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Sorry, when he talks about learning Torah, like everything is based is based against learning Torah. Can we also say it's based against someone who's osek in mitzvot?
Yeah. The point is what you could have been doing at that time.
Any spiritual.
Right. A person could have been was saying Lashon Hara, and he could have been doing chesed. He could have been using his kochos in any particular way. The point is that he could have been doing something more positive, you know. So that's the cheshbon. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says a little differently. He says, again, back to that Gemara that we mentioned the other day, which is that, two people were given a package of the king, a white shirt. One of them folded it up and kept it clean. And the other one, you know, used it and it got dirty. And by the time the king wanted it back, it was all filthy. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that, points out from the Moshul, like he said last time, that there's two parts to spirituality. There's the avoiding getting dirty. There's the avoiding the prohibitions, which soils our neshama. And then there's the positive, which is adding on, which is, you know, being mesakin ourselves. We have a mission. Every person has a mission in this world. We were put here for a mission. And therefore, the way he says it, a beautiful wording he says here. He says, "Ach be'emes lo yuzu bilvad aisa kavanas abriya." The purpose of creation was not just that we shouldn't do averos. Rak l'man tosefes shlemus. It's to add on to our completion, our shlemut, make ourselves more complete. Lebal yirodim ba'atzlus hazman. That a person shouldn't fall asleep in the laziness of the time. Rak yezoriz. You should be quick with takem mashikive mishalchoy lazeh olam. To do what your creator has put you in this world to accomplish. Beautiful language he has there. So he says that's the din and the cheshbon. The din is, did you do anything wrong? Oh, excuse me. If you did something wrong, we're gonna hold you accountable for that. That's the din. But just because you successfully accomplished in the din, you know, you never did anything wrong. But now you have to make a cheshbon. This is where you were supposed to be. You had potential to reach here. how much of that potential did you accomplish? So it's not just about I didn't do averus. It's also where's the positive? Where did you complete? Did you perfect yourself? Did you complete your neshama? Did you complete your tafkid? Okay, so yeah, there's a guy will say, you know, you're hired a delivery guy. So he comes back and says, look at the bright side. At least the car, I didn't get the car into an accident. Yeah, you didn't break the car, but you didn't do the delivery. You know, you drove around for 2 hours on the highway and you brought me back the car. So I'm happy that you didn't, get into an accident and get a ticket. And maybe you even refilled the gas so that, you brought it back the same way it was. But you didn't do your job. You didn't do the delivery. So what good is it? Right? So the din is, okay, let's look at the car. Let's look at the neshama. Is it, but just because the din is okay, what about the cheshbon? What about, where are you in relation to where you could be? And that's the cheshbon. Where are you in relation to where you could be? So, obviously these are all very, technically scary, but motivating as well in terms of the fact that we have a mission and we have potential and it's up to us to reach it. And it should be motivating to us to push us in that direction. So that's the, according to Chaim Volozhin, beautifully explained, is the din and the cheshbon, okay? But now he goes into a whole world view of what, this world is. And that I always say about the working of Chaim Volozhin is that after you read this sefer is just like the tip of the iceberg of Reb Chaim Volozhiner's hashkafa from the sefer Nefesh HaChaim. That's really where the deep comes from. But all these things, it makes you realize the world is like a puppet show. That's what I always say. It's like a puppet show. You guys looking at the puppet show. Wow, these guys are unbelievable. In the meanwhile, everything's attached to strings. Everything's being controlled from behind the scenes. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner is taking you backstage a little bit. He's giving you a glimpse into backstage. Look, this is the strings. Don't get carried away with the puppets. So that's Reb Chaim Volozhiner. He's bringing you backstage a little. So he says over here that the concept of the din v'cheshbon is actually a very, very deep concept and a very heavy motivator. And the pshat is like this. He says that the first two items in the Mishnah say, where did you come from and where are you going? So he basically saying that's only valuable to focus on. So what's that saying? That's saying that your guf is nothing. Your guf is a temporary, it's temporary, it's flesh and blood, and it's not going to stay that way forever. So the guf is temporary. But the only way that that's really a motivating factor is if you realize that you have a neshama that is going to elevate that has potential to elevate yourself through the neshama. So in other words, you have to balance the neshama and the guf. And that's really what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying the guf is not going to last. The guf is here. But we are made up of, like we always say, animals are only guf. They have a body. They have all physical desires. Angels are only neshama. So purely spiritual beings. And a person is made up of both. And a person has the malach, the angel aspect of him, the neshama, and he has the guf aspect of him.
Oh, yeah.
And according to Reb Chaim, what the Mishnah is saying is that don't focus on the guf part, because the guf part is not going to last forever. That's gonna be, eventually, in the ground and whatever. But the neshama part, you're going to give a din v'cheshbin on the neshama part. Because even after a person is nifter, but the neshama continues to live on forever. So we live on forever through the neshama, and that's going to give the din b'cheshbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's focus on the neshama part. And he goes on to explain, I want to speak about this a little more tomorrow, get through what we can get tonight. There's a whole long explanation, and we'll start it now. But he brings the Ramban, very interesting Ramban. And the Ramban asks the most fundamental question of why doesn't the Torah focus on Olam Haba, on the world to come? There's no mention in the Chumash of Olam Haba. That is going
to be bothered by that, Rabbi.
Oh yeah.
And it also doesn't talk about Mashiach either. And these are very big concepts that we live with every day, and it's like a precept of Emunah.
Right. Right.
No mention. Zero.
Right. Well, Mashiach is mentioned actually in Parshas Nitzavim and in other places. Mashiach could be possibly mentioned.
I think we need to have a shiur separate just on that topic, but okay, fine.
Okay, fine.
That in mind is a future topic for discussion.
Okay, fine. So yeah, so we'll put that on the list. But Olam Haba is not mentioned explicitly in the Chumash. And the Ramban says a fascinating thing. He says, if a person realizes that we are made up of a neshama and a guf, so he says, it's obvious that there's Olam Haba. You don't even have to talk about it, because of course the neshama continues to live, because the neshama really in this world is really living in Olam Haba, kind of. The whole, the neshama of the person is, like we said way back, I think we mentioned the concept of the shoe, that our body is like the shoe for the neshama. The neshama is really up in Shemayim, and the bottom of the neshama is touching the earth, and the body is like the shoe holding the neshama. So when you take away the shoe, the body pulls back to the foot, and now the neshama goes back to Shemayim. So of course the neshama is going to have Olam Haba, the Ramban says. This, that if a person does mitzvos and he perfects his neshama, he's going to be able to enjoy Olam Haba, the Ramban says, is obvious. The only reason why it may not be obvious is we're not so in touch with our neshama part. But the neshama is obvious. So if a person understands that, that's obvious. But there's a chiddush here. The chiddush of the Torah is that a person has an opportunity through mitzvos to elevate their guf, to elevate their body to the point that even their body is kind of living a neshama existence, and Hashem will now shower the guf, shower a person with schar in Olam Hazeh because of what his neshama did. So if a person did mitzvos, so then maybe one would say, well, then let the neshama celebrate and receive the reward in the next world. But why should the guf receive the world in this world, the reward in this world? And you're going to get rain, and you're going to get a lot of food. That's a chiddush. So that's a chiddush. So the Torah has to focus on that, because that's a very big chiddush. But the reward in the Olam Haba, the Ramban says, follows naturally. So the Torah doesn't focus on that. That's one answer the Ramban gives. So
you're saying Olam Haba is obvious and Olam Hazeh is not obvious?
To receive schar for mitzvos in this world
is not obvious, you're saying.
It's not obvious. That's what the Ramban's chiddush. Because he
says,
because he says that if you think about it, mitzvahs are spiritual. So the way that should translate into schar is that you've perfected your neshama. So the neshama will receive a benefit. But the guf, who says? So he says the way it works is because the person has the ability to perfect their guf as well. That's the chiddush. You can elevate your guf as well, that the guf becomes a spiritual reality. You know, the Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. You know, the Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu didn't die. What does that mean? Death is when, you know, is when the neshama and the guf part ways. The neshama goes to its din v'cheshbon, like we're saying, and the guf stays here 6 feet under. If a person during their lifetime elevated their guf to the point that their guf is also spiritual, then there's no separation, because the guf was also a concept of neshama. So there's no separation. So, you know, basically the Misa did not really create a separation. And the highest form of that was Eliyahu Anavi, whose guf itself went up to Shemayim. Right? The Pasuk says in Malachim that Eliyahu Anavi, not only didn't die, but he was taken up to Shemayim. Ruach Sa'ara and Eliyahu Navi, the guf was taken up to Shemayim. That was the highest level a human being could ever reach. So the Vilna Gaon says, what that means is that he perfected his guf to the point that his guf also basically became a spiritual entity, to the point that it belonged in Olam Haba. That's obviously the whole, only human being on the, in the history of the world, even more than Moshe Rabbeinu. The only human being in the world that ever reached that level is Eliyahu Hanavi. And that's why he comes back. In other words, he can exist in both worlds simultaneously, essentially. By him, the guf and the neshama were not to became fused into one entity. So there was no conflict at all between the guf and the neshama. Yaakov Avinu Lomes, similar darga, not exactly the same, but similar. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains that what the Mishnah here is saying is, don't focus on the guf. The guf is not going to last, but the neshama, that's going to last forever. That's going to give a din v'cheshbon. And therefore, remember, we're made up of a guf, we're made up of a neshama. And the challenge in this world is, which one are we going to be guided by? Which one are we going to be living by? Which one are we focused on improving? Are we focused on improving our guf? Or are we focused on improving our neshama? Which one is going to guide and assist us in making the decision? So it's heavy musar. It's heavy musar, you know, but this is really the depth, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, of the musar of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, look at these three things and you will not come to sin. So yeah, you could, the simple explanation is, you know, you'll die eventually and you have to give it in the cheshbon. So look, if you're going to have to die and you're going to have to explain, you know, what you did while you were here, you better be careful. But he's saying it's much deeper. It's explaining the conflict between guf and neshama, and motivating the person to give more chashivus to the neshama part than to the guf part. That's really what is what's going on in this Mishnah. I want to continue the concept tomorrow, where he expounds on it a little more. So,
but you didn't give the other reason for the Olam Haba.
No, there's many reasons.
So tomorrow,
I'll try to give another one tomorrow from the Sefer HaChinuch.
Are you doing the Aventura Isles show tomorrow night or no?
Tomorrow night, not yet. No, not yet. We're going to start next week. Okay. How do you want to do that?
I was thinking. I don't know. Let me.
Okay, think about it. We'll talk about it later.
Let's say that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.